Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Today, we have an old friend and colleague. It's been a couple months since we've seen each other. Several decades since we worked across the field from each other, but we've kept in touch over the years, and it's always fun to see an old friend. We'd like to welcome great colleague, great person if you know him, and if you don't, you need to get to know him because he's just fantastic. Athletic trainer, Bill Ito. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks, Eli. Thanks for having me on the show.
I know we've been working on this, trying to get you on here and working out the logistics. It's always fun to work on each other's schedules and try and get it on. So I'm excited you're here, of course. Always great to see you and catch up. So happy, super happy it all worked out.
Yeah, me too.
As we're getting started, just to give everybody kind of an understanding of your really unique and windy road of a career, which is, I don't know how else to say it. It's currently you're an injury prevention specialist in the industrial setting for a large e-commerce logistics corporation, and you work in the air transportation and cargo division, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's kind of enough.
Do you get that all on a card, or geez, is that like two or three?
Oh, it's probably like three. You know, sometimes, you know, athletic trainers that have all the initials after their name, it's kind of like my title, but kind of the equivalent of it. But
yeah, even with the abbreviations, it'd be L-E-L-C-A-T-N-C, just blah, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
cool. It is. So, Bill, we go back a couple decades, I hate to say it. But, you know, you've had just a unique path down your career. So we'd really like for our listeners to hear where you started educationally, the whole nine yards, how you got into the profession, and tell us a little bit about your career. And I hate to say it has to be the Spark Notes version because, man, your career is just so vast.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been a great journey. I think the profession of athletic training has afforded me just a wonderful opportunity throughout my career to date. So I started my love for sports medicine and athletic training in high school. I was very fortunate to have an athletic trainer that came on, and she was our very first full-time athletic trainer. And I went to Maranatha High School out in Sierra Madre at the time, just down the road from St. Francis from you. And
know exactly where it is, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And her name was Cheryl Herlacher, just an amazing, amazing lady. She came in that first year and started a elective class and introduction to sports medicine. So I took it, fell in love with it, and kind of was fortunate to decide then that that's what I wanted to do as a profession. I loved medicine. I just at the time didn't want to commit to all the years of going through medical school and all that stuff. And at the same time, I love sports. I played football, I did track, but just sports was my thing. So once I took the class and, you know, learned about the body. Also, at the same time, I took anatomy and phys in high school. So that kind of combination really sparked my interest. But Learning how to tape, that was the first fun part. Remember learning how to do the basket weave, and I think we used Kramer for all of us back in the day, like the Kramer taping manuals and
Oh
things like
God,
that.
yeah, I remember
Yeah.
that one. Yep. We're showing
So,
our age now.
oh yeah, I think I
Yep.
might show up. I think I might date myself through through today's episode. But so from there, and it's kind of a funny shout out of that class, two of us became certified athletic trainers and still work in my other person. When I took that class, I was a junior in high school. And then one of our senior members of the class is Andrew Liu. So a big shout out to him over at
No, I
Rancho
didn't know
Cucamonga.
that,
Oh yeah.
Andrew.
So Andrew Liu and I went to high school together. So I'll probably do some shameless name dropping. But
Please do.
yeah, so and he's done such a wonderful job out at Rancho Cucamonga. And so he and I kind of came from that class. And then from there, I didn't know. I just didn't have any idea of what schools in the area, provided athletic training as a major. And literally asked Cheryl, just, hey, where did you go? If it worked for you and you were a great instructor, you're my mentor and, you kind of sparked my passion. So she went to Azusa Pacific. I ended up going to Azusa Pacific University. I actually tried to play football for the first couple of years. From there, transitioned in, full time as trying to complete their program. And back then, it was the internship route. So for me, I think that was a wonderful opportunity. Kind of fit me. I was a very hands-on type of learner. But diving in right away from your freshman year, and this is back in the days where you had your kind of like first assignments as a freshman, but you were underneath like upperclassmen, and they showed you like how the athletic training clinic worked, or room back then, as we used to call it, how to make sure everything was clean, how you did documentation, how do you stock, and how do you, the upkeep, the logistics. And then slowly through my 4 years, kind of worked my way up through different sports. And also, that program had different responsibilities. And I remember for our junior year, that's kind of where everyone in the program wanted to shoot for their kind of like junior on-campus lead. And back then, they gave those junior students kind of the responsibility, what would be an equivalent of a head. I know with all of our changes and things like that, but back in the day, it was, you kind
Different times, baby.
of, it
Different
was
times. Yep.
different times. Yeah. So I remember my junior year, my fall was women's volleyball with one of my classmates. His name is Jose Mares, and he and I, we kind of were, the co-head student athletic trainers. So we took care of that team. A funny story with that, the coach called, he and I, and asked if we can come into school like a week or two early because they wanted to do a preseason road trip to Arizona. And I remember it was like, yeah, sure, I can report. Cleared it with our head athletic trainer. We traveled out with them. Just say, hey, this is my first opportunity. Like, okay, I need to cut my teeth. This is it. This is the responsibility that they're giving us. I gotta act as a head athletic trainer. I gotta be professional. I gotta all those different things. It's like, okay, here's a challenge. I just remember how it hit me, square in the face is when the first night that we land, I think we ended up, it was a road trip too. So we took vans. We didn't even fly. I remember we had one van, I think it was one of our buses, like broke down outside of Blythe. So we were there, dead of summer. And then, once we
Wonderful.
wonderful,
Not
yes.
hot at all out there about
No,
that time,
no,
man.
no.
130 or so, yeah.
And then from there, we made it to Phoenix. And I remember the head coach coming to Jose and myself and was like, hey, have you guys taken nutrition yet? I said, yeah, we took nutrition because what grade did you get? I said, we passed, both got A's. I think we're good. She's like, great. Here's all the per diem money. Gave me a big fat envelope. It's like, you guys are responsible for coming up with the menu for the girls for the next week and let us know what you got.
No pressure. No
No
pressure
pressure.
whatsoever. Yeah.
So, I mean, things like that. I mean, just, opportunities to really have to problem solve, think on your feet, having to figure out, like, I'd never been to Phoenix at that point. So trying to find a phone book,
No
find a pay
Google.
phone,
No Google
no
back
Google.
then. Yep. Yep.
I think underneath the rental van we had a oh my gosh, what do we have? I'm blanking on the name.
Thomas Guide?
Thomas Guide. Thank you.
Yeah,
Yes.
the old map. Yep, we just dated
Old.
ourselves. Sorry, everybody.
You know, that experience, and then the spring came around and I was able to get track and field. And this will come a little bit later in my career, but that time at Azusa Pacific, we had a lot of Olympians. So we had a very international contingent. We had back in the days with the world's greatest athlete, you know, we had Dave Johnson, you know, was teaming up with Dan O'Brien for the Reebok campaign. You know,
Oh
being
God, I
around that,
remember that. Yeah.
yeah. So Dave was alumni of Azusa Pacific, and we had great coaches. Terry Franson was our head coach, and Kevin Reed, who's over at University of Luverne right now. And you know, just being a part and being in that environment with having Olympic athletes, not only from our U.S. athletes, but also we had athletes from Nigeria. We had a lot of awesome talent, and many of those went on to be Olympic athletes as well for their respective countries. And
Didn't you
so,
also have one athlete that went into the NFL and made an impact as a running back?
and that we did, yes,
Yeah.
Christian Okoye, you
Oh,
know,
yes, I remember
Nigerian
that well.
nightmare,
Yep.
you know. So that was my era in college, is seeing all these at a small university was very. It was eye-opening. Sometimes you get starstruck, especially seeing Christian Okoye doing a workout and watching a man of his stature just mow down 110 high hurdles was an absolute thing to see. And from there, it kind of got my interest and my bug for track and field. And so from there, graduated from Azusa Pacific and ended up going back home to my alma mater. So I did an internship my senior year. And senior year at Azusa Pacific, we got to be offsite. So we were fully offsite. We got to pick whatever we wanted to get into. I think it's kind of similar to how nowadays they have like the full immersive clinical rotation where they can pick, they can travel, they can go wherever they want. So I did something similar like that. And I ended up going back because I wanted to be a high school athletic trainer. Ironically enough, I wanted to go to the NFL. I was thinking, you know, all of us, you know, we go through athletic
Who
training.
didn't, right? At
Yeah.
one point. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so I remember having a conversation. It was Far West, and it was in San Francisco. It was my junior year. George Anderson, he was the Hall of Famer athletic trainer for the Raiders. He was there, I think it was either for the company that developed a brace. I think he helped design like a knee brace, or it was with Jaybird. I think it was one of those two, if I can remember right. But I remember having a brief conversation with him. He was there opening questions and just as this, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, just excited athletic trainer to take on the world and jump into the NFL. And I will never forget the question that he asked me. He goes, "What kind of life do you want? Do you want to have family? Do you want to have time and all this stuff?" And so this is like the early work-life balance question. And so I told him, it's like, yeah, I'd love to have a family someday and have kids and all that stuff. And he point blank told me, it's like the NFL's not for you. And it was like, whoa, wow.
That's an
You know,
eye-opening
it
statement right
was a
there. Yep.
very eye-opening statement. And from there, I walked away and kind of looked at and reevaluated where I want to go. As much as I love the NFL, but at the same time, I knew in my future I want to have the opportunity to have a family, you know, and settle down and have that time. So from there, I pivoted and ended up loving the secondary school setting. So that took me my senior year and went back to Maranatha and was an intern there and worked under my preceptor. His name is Gary Gant. I think he's still up at Granite Hills up in Victorville, the high desert. I know that's where he ended up going. So from Maranatha, he was the head athletic trainer for them at the time. And that was a fun ride because learning from him, being an intern, also having the opportunity to coach football. So, you know, at smaller schools, we were able to do that. We were able to. So for me, I was a JV level offensive line, defensive line coach. I think I got to a point where I was a defensive coordinator. And then from the varsity game, because We played our games on the same night. We just JV played first and varsity played after. Then I just switched to being an athletic training intern. It was kind of fun to have that opportunity. And then after that year, Gary decided to leave and go up to the high desert. So he went up to Apple Valley for a year and then opened Granite Hills. Once that occurred, he recommended me for the job. And so I remember being, oh my gosh, I think I was 23 at the
Oh
time.
my goodness. A
And
pup, a pup.
a pup. And I look back on my, I look back at it now and just how surreal, like head athletic trainer for a very small school. I was 23. And ironically enough, having to teach three preps. So we had, I had to teach anatomy and physiology, also teach intro to sports med. And we had a very small advanced sports med class. We had like four students. But I remember that first year, I had my principal walk in the class, and I had my class was doing some in-class assignments, and having the principal walk right by me and ask, "Hey, where's the teacher? Where's Mr. Ito?" I'm literally sitting right next to her.
Oh,
And
that's
it's funny
funny.
because, at that point, I was always clean shaven. After that point, I always had a goatee, had a
Had to
mustache.
look older,
Had to look
yep.
old. Yeah. And it was interesting to have the younger brothers and sisters of classmates that I went to school with. You could only imagine, like, back to school nights, parents come back like, "Oh my gosh, you're here teaching." I'm like, "Oh,
Wait a
so
minute. Do they
yeah."
know who they hired? We can tell them some stories.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was, part of having to really establish myself as an athletic trainer, as a professional, as an instructor and educator. But that really springboarded me in developing that sports medicine program. I think we had 12 when I started off with intro, and then having four with the advanced class. And I was at Maranatha for several years. It was like 5 or 6 years. I started there in 96, went to about 2000, and having that grow to, I think we had 35 by the time I left. And there was about 15 or so with advanced sports med. There's a lot of kids that I remember from that group went on to be athletic trainers. So that's super gratifying. I know you have
That's so
that all
cool.
the time where you have, a student that you've had a chance to teach and mentor, and they go into the profession as the next
Very,
generation.
very gratifying and almost it's humbling when that happens. It
Yeah.
really is.
Yeah. That time at Maranatha was, it's fun to go back as a teacher when you were a student. But also too, they supported me, back in the day where and I'm gonna admit, I was one where the BOC was a little tough. And that was the old school three-part,
Three
day.
Parter with a hands-on exam. Get called
Hands-on
out in
exam.
the middle of a written. Come
Yep.
with me. Good
Yep.
God,
But
yes.
talk about test stress. So I took my test and took me three times to pass. I tell students in the many years that I was a preceptor that, the test is a test, and it doesn't define who you are as an athletic trainer. You set that moving forward. And I remember first time taking the test, I took it cold just to get an idea. I think I passed the written. The second time I passed the oral practical, and like you mentioned, it's so stressful. You have that name, the board with all the names.
Oh yeah.
You just see it travel, and you're just trying to finish your written exam. And then you look up and like, "Oh my gosh, I have four people in front of me." I'll have three people in front of me, like, "Oh, I'm next up." And then they pull you out and they hit you with all those practical questions. And then you come back and you're second guessing yourself. So now you're always focusing on what you did on the practical side and thinking like, "Oh, did I make a mistake here or what have you?" And then it goofs up your written test. And but and I remember you maybe this is one thing that always, I don't say always, but happened to me. And I remember our written sim. So it was back in the day where you had the questions and it had the highlighter. So it was like the magic marker pen.
Oh, yes. Oh,
Okay.
yes. I still have nightmares of that.
Oh,
Yes.
so I had one, I think it was my second test, and this is what I think kind of did me in. I was trying to contemplate this one answer. And my professors always said, when you're thinking doing the written sim, cap your pen and put it out, so you're not inadvertently marking things.
Oh no.
So I had one question where I wasn't paying attention, and it was just, my brain was locked in thought, and I looked down and remember, like, I had highlighted like several questions that I probably, or answers that I probably didn't want to do. So I mean, it's like that, but
oh
I
my
know.
God,
and
I've never thought about that. That's horrible.
It's horrible. And so I'm glad I survived that era of the BOC, but they support me. I started work in 96. I also was a certified EMT, so they kind of let me work with that and kind of help at the time satisfy CIF. I could start a game as an EMT.
Yep, I remember those days. Yep.
Yep. And
that's
so
why I got EMT certified as well.
Yep. They said, hey, just keep working at it, and finally got certified in 98. So from 98 to now, I've been a certified athletic trainer. So those were some great foundation years. And after that, I was given the opportunity to go to Walnut High School. And
great school, great program, even today.
Yeah. And had a connection with Walnut Valley Unified. Actually met with some of the people at Diamond Bar High School. So this was really a funny story, because I met with AD, I believe it was Ray Moore at the time, and really talked about coming on to Diamond Bar. Diamond Bar was really successful athletically. They had a really great football program. I was watching them play Damien. I think they just came off of the CIF title, and just, I was like excited. I'm like, oh, this would be a great move, going from a small high school, moving up to a bigger high school, just seeing like progression in my career. Talk with, and so go ahead and apply, contact the district. And so I went through that whole process, went through, they even had a test. They had some individuals there to put a proficiency test.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Looking at the questions, are like, some of them were athletic training related, some weren't, but they had this test. So I was like, oh, I'm game. So I went ahead, passed the test. They did that as their first screen. And then I remember getting a call from the district saying, hey, you have your first interview. I'm like, oh, I'm thinking getting ready for Diamond Bar. Sure enough, it's like, well, we're going to have you go to Walnut High School. I'm like, Walnut High School? I'm like, I was not on my radar. I go down there, meet with Jerry Person, who was the AD at the time, and he was head football coach and principal, great man, Dr. Ken Gunn. Those two individuals, got to meet with them. And actually, by the end of the interview, kind of fell in love with Walnut. So I came on board at Walnut as their very first certified athletic trainer. And I remember they had one room that they kind of operated as their athletic training room, but really they expanded from part of the boys' locker room. I remember this is one of those moments you have a blank slate and you have to go in and build it. For the next several years, building the athletic training room, working with Jerry and Dr. Gunn and even all the people there at Walnut High School, as well as the district, was some other next step growing years. And while I was there, helped the district, they opened up a second full-time athletic training position at Diamond Bar. They finally filled it. Wonderful A, Stacy Camus, was the first full-time there. I think she's teaching at Cal State Fullerton now. That led the way to Chase Paulson, who's there now, and kudos to him. Congrats on getting the, Athletic Trainer of the Year award for CIF. So I just
That was great. Just announced a couple of weeks ago. Way to go, Chase. That was awesome.
So big shout out to him. But so Stacy and I were the very first two in that district as, full-time athletic trainers. And we both worked to establish sports med programs. And I kind of worked with East San Gabriel Valley ROP. And we ended up doing, kind of going through the process of establishing sports medicine program. And it's funny talking to the team at East San Gabriel Valley ROP. They say, hey, we have this kind of like curriculum set for a position called a recreational trainer. I'm like, recreational trainer? I'm like, wow.
What the heck is that?
What is that? So took a look at it, and literally it was an athletic training curriculum just built for high school. It had all the language, everything set. So the first couple of years really trying to establish and go through the different steps of the process, I was able and had the wonderful opportunity to establish their athletic training and sports med program. And after I left Walnut, you know, Nelson Chen over there, big kudos, Nelson. Nelson,
of course, great guy. Really, really took the handoff from you and kept it going.
Yeah, and ran with it. Nelson and I are good friends today, and also his wife Vanessa Chen, and who's also there as well as an instructor, and she was an athletic trainer for them as well. And also at Pomona, she was one of my very first high school students, so she was one of the very first products from Walnut's program. So yeah, humbling to see, and they're doing an awesome job, and especially what Nelson has done, changing from that class into a full-blown health academy. And I know they attended the high school competition.
They do almost every year, and they have got a phenomenal program. So from the roots that you planted, those seeds turned into roots, turned into one hell of a program over the years. So
and,
kudos to you on that one.
Yeah. And it's, and like I said, it's humbling to see, you know, when you plant seeds, sometimes you see them grow, sometimes you don't. But this one, to see what the next person in line, that's Nelson, and kudos to Nelson. He has done such a great job of incorporating sports med education for high school students in the career and technical education space is amazing. So I love seeing that. They have a beautiful facility for their athletic training room, and I was very fortunate. They, once they opened it, they named the athletic training clinic after me. So I have a little bit.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I
oh,
have a little bit of a legacy.
Awesome.
So it was a very, very, very special thing that they did for recognition. So I'm always indebted to them.
Awesome. That's
yeah.
Cool.
So then from there, like I said, it gets crazy. So I get a call when I was at Walnut from an old vice principal. When my days at Maranatha, and ask if I'd be interested to come up to Northern California to start a sports medicine program, because she saw what I did at Maranatha, and Maranatha at the time that I was there kind of used that as a marketing tool. So, hey, we got these unique programs, be a part of it. This is what Bill's been doing. So she wanted to replicate that up at a school in Santa Rosa in Sonoma County. I said, sure. Hey, we were looking at the time. My daughters were really, really, really small. My oldest was 5 at the time. My youngest was 2. And my wife and I were thinking, oh, man, it'd be kind of nice. Like, you know, we were born and raised in Southern California, but to live and experience a different side of the state, just outside of our comfort zone, hey, let's try it. So
something new, something fun. Yeah.
Something, and the school was really small. It was a very, very small private school. Religiously affiliated, and it was a K through 12 with 200 kids total. So, the high school had probably 50 to 60 kids in the high school, you know, grades 9 through 12. And then the rest were junior high and elementary school kids. So, part of the agreement coming up, you know, she's like, I don't have a position as an athletic trainer for you. You're going to have to wear a couple hats. I said, yeah, let me know. What do you have in mind? So she's like, I like to bring you up as an athletic director. So I'm like, oh, this will be a great opportunity. Go into admin, see how I like it. And so I went up as the high school AD, as well as a middle school AD. So we had a middle school sports program. And then I also taught, had one small sports medicine class, and I think I had like 4 or 5 kids in there, and was at that school for a couple of years, just trying to get it to grow, trying to get it to flourish. It was a lot of hard work, sweat and tears, a lot of great people that were part of that organization and that school. The students were great. From that small little sports med program, I had two students that went on to be athletic trainers. One, his name's Kevin Dinglass, and he was at Sacramento State for a little while. I'm not sure if he's still there or not. And another gentleman, his name's Rob Sun. He went through Santa Rosa Junior College, made his way to San Jose State before they kind of stopped their program, but then ended up graduating from there, I believe, with his master's, and then head out to University of Nebraska at Omaha
Oh,
to finish
wow.
up his athletic training program and his education. But one cool thing with Rob is his senior year, or his full like clinical immersion rotation, he went to the University of Alabama. So he had the opportunity to work with Coach Saban and the successful years that there. And this is one student who, there's a lot of points that he could have hung it up. You know, there's a lot of barriers. He was from Korea originally, so he fell in love with the athletic training profession and he stuck with it. And, you know, now he's on staff. I believe he's still on staff, at least from last year. He's still on staff at University of Alabama as an assistant athletic trainer for their football program. So,
Roll Tide. That's cool.
yeah.
That's a cool little
So
story there.
it's just awesome to see, you know, those stories kind of flourish. And, but unfortunately, that opportunity kind of folded, and my wife had an opportunity for her job to bring us back to Southern California. So as we moved back, I was in limbo. I had to look for a job. I was looking for different parts, AD, athletic trainer. I saw one that was working for a hospital down in Orange, and they contracted to a very large amusement park in Anaheim, which you can probably take a guess.
There's one or two over there that we
One
know,
or two.
but yeah.
Yeah. As an industrial athletic trainer, I'm like, oh, hey, I got nothing to lose. I need to find a job as we get resettled. So, hey, I'm going to go ahead and try it. So this is my first introduction to the industrial setting. We worked at the park. We had two divisions, and I was a part of a new group that they were developing. They did have a group that worked with performers, stage, and so on. That team was very well established. And this new division that they were opening had one individual from that original performer group. And he went through and kind of applied the same approach, but to the rest of the lines of businesses at this amusement park, looking at workers' comp metrics and what are the injury drivers and how can we mitigate those occurrences and workplace injuries and things like that. And really had a test run for one of the businesses at this park, save them at least 6 to 7 figures within a year or two, and prove to the park that, wow, they need to develop one certified athletic trainer can have this much of a positive impact, then we need more. So this is one thing that, to see this example of really, you know, you're proving your worth. I know that's a conversation that comes up a lot, is
it's important.
It's
You have to.
important. Yeah. And especially in these emerging settings where, you know, we boldly go where no athletic trainer has gone before. I mean, it's more, I mean, there is more of athletic trainers and even athletic trainers that I recognize that are in the industrial setting. But for those that blazed the trail for us, we really had to fight hard to prove the value of what our profession brings, especially to taking care of employees and associates, improving work experience for a lot of these employees. I know that's a big thing that we have impact on. So I got to work with this team for about a summer. So like I said, it was in transition. But within that summer, our lead athletic trainer really took me under his wing, showed me kind of his tips, his philosophy, his passion. And that always stuck with me.
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
So after that summer, had a call from Walnut. I went back to Walnut in transition, went back. They had their athletic trainer, I think, left to take another job. So they needed someone. So I filled in for that football season. But the whole entire time, especially even when I went away, up north into Sonoma County in Santa Rosa, I got to know my good friend Andy Pollan. Andy and I,
phenomenal guy.
Phenomenal
we all
guy.
Love him. We yeah. all love him.
Yeah, and I'm blessed to have him as one of my good friends, not only professionally but personally, and got to know him when my days at Walnut, and I took care of his daughter Megan. She was an athlete for me. Really, that's how we met.
No pressure working
no
on
pressure.
Andy Pollan's child.
None
whatsoever.
No, and I'll share this story because I forgot to share it during my Walnut days. She came in with an injury, and so I went ahead and was, doing my history, filling out all my documentation. And what's your last name? And I was like, Pollan. What's your first name? It's Megan. And I'm kind of going through. I'm thinking, I'm putting two and two together. I'm like, Pollan's not a very, it's not a very common name. So I kind of did is your dad? And she almost like finished my sentence. She goes, yes, my dad's name is Andy. And like, does he work at, yes, he works at Mount San Antonio College and all that stuff. So,
as she rolls her eyes in the process
yes,
of saying
yeah.
it, of course,
it's
yes.
Almost like, yeah, it's almost like I can't go anywhere without anybody knowing my dad. It's like, well, your dad is, he's one of the legends, especially, on the West Coast and if not the country, Hall of Famer, all the stuff. And I had a huge admiration for Andy. And so now it's like coming, like, I can't mess this up. If I mess this up, I won't work anywhere in the industry ever,
You're
so,
done. That's it.
I'm
you're
done.
blocked,
Yeah,
blackballed. You're done. Yep.
Yeah. Did the assessment, gave information to her. I said, well, you can let your dad know. And I kind of like, because he was such a big figure, and I kind of gave him the information to her, kind of wrote some good notes and say, let your dad take a look at it. Just make sure he's cool with it and so on and so forth. So she comes back the next day and said, my dad wanted me to tell you something. I'm like, okay. She's like, whatever you say and whatever you have planned for rehab, I'm going with you. And it's like, I was like, wow. So
awesome.
A little bit of, it was like a boost of confidence. It was like, that's super cool. And then from that point on, he was very gracious. He donated kind of like a shoulder rehab, strengthening tool for the athletic training room, knowing that, I didn't really have anything. So he helped support us. And from there, I reached out to him and said, hey, can we have, I'd like for you to be my mentor. And we started having this habit of really going out to breakfast once a month. So we would meet.
That's awesome.
There was a Millie's down the street. So Andy and I were always like, okay, I'm free at Walnut. I'm free at Mount SAC. We always meet, kind of talk about the profession, kind of vent. It was almost like therapeutic for he and I. I remember at one point, especially too with Mount SAC, with the reputation that they had as a junior college, even athletically, and also his reputation of working with football. He had the Mount SAC relays. He was always involved with that and with USA Track and Field. So I asked him, like, hey, what do you think, of your, in our conversations, and do you think I ever make it in California Community College? And at the time, like, even two salaries were pretty lucrative at the community college setting. And he goes, yeah, I think you can make it. So I asked him, like, hey, I would love at some point, if there's an opening, please let me know. I love to throw my hat in the ring. From that conversation, it was about a 5 to 6 year wait. I mean, it was waiting my time at Walnut, waiting for my time when I went up north, wanting time for it to come back and finally the opportunity presented itself. So after that transition period, working for the hospital, working for Walnut with that last football season, I got my opportunity to go to Mount SAC. And so I was one of three full-timers. We had Andy was there, and then Cassandra Taylor, who's very influential with,
of course,
athletic training in California, and broke a lot of barriers. So she's a very historical figure. So I got to work with her and myself. So I was the new young buck. and so from there, I took my roles as head athletic trainer for cross country, track and field, soccer. That was kind of in special events. So they kind of gave me that.
That location, for those of you that don't know, Mount SAC has a history and is known for some world-renowned, high-level track and field and other events. So when you say you're in charge of events, you're working, and you're working big time.
Yeah. And being a part of that, and Andy was the person before me. And I remember volunteering for him and seeing some of those years of the Mount SAC relays in its heyday. Hilmer Lodge Stadium in the old form was packed, you know, especially for the Mount SAC relays. And they bring all the Olympic pros in, and got to be there for like the 100 meters and just had this mystique, you know, and just pivotal part in the sport.
Oh, yeah,
field.
definitely.
So not only from way back when at Azusa Pacific, where I got the bug for track and field, now to be in the mix with the sport and being a part of an opportunity and an event that contributes to the sport was awesome. As I started working there, I also asked Andy, how did he get into working with USA Track and Field? So that started my journey and my side journey of working with national governing bodies, volunteering with the United States Olympic Committee. And back in 2004, I volunteered and worked at Colorado Springs for, it was, I think, like a 2-week rotation that helped me springboard for opportunities to get into an organization like USA Track and Field. And I have to thank Andy, because Andy wrote my letter of recommendation, and I asked him if he could do that for me. And getting into those national governing bodies is not easy. Many times you have to have someone who's worked on teams or been in that organization to kind of vouch for you, like, this individual can take care of the athletes in this organization, especially at the highest levels. So Andy's the one who kind of brought me into the fold. And 2006 was my very first kind of event with USA Track and Field. I did the track and field route at the same time working with Mount SAC. So it was kind of hand in hand. And Mount SAC was very gracious to allow me time if I was able to, you know, head out for a world championship, so whatever level. And at the same time, I tried to do support for Mount SAC, because at the same time, we're trying to do a bid for Olympic trials for 2020. So I kind of did with both. And that was a very fun time in my career of getting to travel, working with Olympic athletes, and even working with Olympic athletes when they first started out in their career.
You know, that's so cool. So
being,
cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Being there when, being present for when they win their first international gold medal as youth or juniors, and knowing that someday, like, they're going to sit on top of the podium at Olympic Games with the gold around their neck representing our country. So that was really fun to be a part of. And from there, the community of sportsmen practitioners was absolutely amazing. I think I learned so much of who I was as a practitioner, especially in the manual therapy space. Because when we travel, you can't, I mean, some people do, but it's very tough to lug an ultrasound machine throughout an airport or traveling 16 hours to China or,
oh, God,
you know,
yeah.
So many times we had to just resort to our hands and what was between our ears. You're able to have your kit, your table, and you had to travel light, had to travel swift. But I met so many of my fellow sports med practitioners within that period that I learned a ton. I learned so much of how to deal with repetitive injuries, cumulative stress, how that affects mobility, how that affects a person's ability to move at like their optimal level. Things like cupping. I had one of my coworkers, named Junko Yuzawa. I think she was still working with the Arizona Diamondbacks. She does a lot with golf too. She's based out of Scottsdale, and she taught me cupping. And I had seen cupping before. I seen like this one YouTube, and I don't know who it was from. I think it was from Cal State Fullerton, who did a presentation on doing IT band release, but they were using like a plunger. And so I was like, oh, that'd be kind of great to, you know, loosen that up and whatnot. So I remember playing around with that. But, you know, Junko showed me, and she had, you know, cupping set with her. I was able to also see the first Graston set 2004 at Colorado Springs, and our rotation had an amazing chiropractor, Jim Kurtz, who's working up in Washington. He's worked with the Seahawks for a lot of years, but he was friends with Graston. Actually saw one of the first sets before it actually rolled out, and it was,
Wow.
and seeing that technique of myofascial release and actually like, why are you scraping this person? And seeing it done on Olympic level athletes, like at the training center, and having the training center to be open to new and innovative treatments and styles and techniques. To be a part of that was really eye-opening and helped me so much of what I'm doing now. But so yeah, my time at Mount SAC, working with USA Track and Field, expanding that, getting opportunities to work with USA Beach Volleyball. So I got a chance to work with them and a lot of their Olympic level athletes, and just the opportunities to travel and go to places like, you know, points in China, Aguascalientes in Mexico, places like Qatar. That was one of my last events with kind of the national governing body and Olympic level athletes. I was in Qatar when some of the big announcements of COVID broke out.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I was in Qatar. They did a lot of shutdowns. So we kind of had, you know, kind of like a world tour event, but I wasn't sure if I was going to make it home. I had friends that were blowing up my phone saying, "Hey, Bill, are you able to get back in the country? Sounds like you're doing these travel restrictions." I'm like, "Great, I'm going to get stuck." And I'm going to get
boy,
stuck
is
in
my wife
Qatar.
going to kill me.
Oh, yeah. And so, yeah. So that period of time, not only just professional growth, but it was wonderful for athletic training to allow me opportunities to see the world. And I just had to be able to work. I think at the time I was a grinder. I didn't mind the hard work. It's not easy. Some of those types of situations, you're working 18, 19 hours a day, you know, doing treatments, making sure everybody's tuned up. You're on call. So I tell people it's not glamorous. You want to see your athletes on the podium. Once in a while you get a shout out, but don't expect it, you know, but know that you're in behind the scenes, you know, making the magic happen and supporting these athletes that support your country. And with that, you know, I was fortunate to go to the Rio Olympic Games in 2016. So that was kind of the highlight of my career, being able to work towards that opportunity to be a part of that staff. And there's so many wonderful people on that medical staff. Dustin Williams was our head athletic trainer, and I have good friends like Ed Elder. He's an athletic trainer up in Washington. One of my good friends, Phil Vardaman, he was a program director at Kansas State. He's, I think, teaching now. He kind of stepped down from that role, but, you know, working with individuals like that, great athletic trainers, Jimco that I met, you know, I mentioned before, we had some in multidisciplinary as well. We had, you know, physicians, chiropractors, massage therapists, and there's so many people I haven't mentioned, but coming together, collaborating with all of our different disciplines, but still having kind of a singularity of thought and approach to our athletes so that we can get them on the podium was very gratifying. It was just really an awesome opportunity for that part. And then kind of moving to the next one, you know, COVID hit. And I had actually, before COVID kind of hit, I stepped away from Mount SAC and had to kind of pivot and look at my career. And I ended up going to Upland High School. So I lived in Upland at the time. Our family had, we lived there, and went back, and there was an opening at the high school. So it's kind of nice to go back and work at Upland and be part of like the local high school. And I think this is one part for me in my career is another highlight. Like, I was fortunate to have my youngest daughter. She's a goalkeeper, and she played club soccer since the age of 8. And, you know, she's very talented, even though, yes, I am biased because I'm her dad, but, you know, she's...
I watched video. She was talented. I remember.
And so it was funny with the first days on the job at Upland, and they knew my last name. And, you know, you get to the point where your kids kind of like supersede your reputation. So all the coaches were PE instructors throughout grade school and middle school and all stuff. So they all remember, like, hey, are you Abby Ito's dad? I'm like, yeah, she's my daughter. And it's like, is she still playing soccer? And like, yeah, she's still playing soccer. And she had wonderful opportunities to play like for ODP teams. And she was on US Soccer Developmental Academy teams when they first came out. And, you know, that was part of her life for a lot of years. And so she was going to another high school at the time, but they gave word to the head soccer coach. It's like, yeah, they're really in need of a goalkeeper. So I kind of had a talk with my daughter. It's like, well, you can if you want, you don't have to. Their girls' soccer team at Upland had a really great reputation, strongest in the country and the state. They were state champions at one point, and so they were looking for another state run. And planets aligned, stars aligned. Abby was able to transfer, so I got to be her athletic trainer for a season. So, which was super, super nice. It's stressful at times to be a parent, but then you have to switch to be her athletic trainer.
Yep.
But that season, they were able, it was heartbreaking because they lost in penalty kicks for Southern Section Championships of Santiago. That was heartbreaking. That was so hard as a parent to try to like separate as a parent, but also be an athletic trainer at the same time. And that was tough, but they were able to come back and win the state regional title. So
Very
for me,
nice.
yeah. So for me to share a CIF ring with my daughter and myself, like I'll never pass that up. So that was such a wonderful opportunity for myself and just to share that with my daughter. So that's super, super cool. And then
And
yeah, then
something that
COVID.
doesn't happen often. So
No, does not happen
that's
often.
wow.
Yeah. So I will always cherish that. And then COVID hit. And it's funny because when they won the state title, like COVID really got a full swing. So then we shut down. You know, everybody knows, you know, we all shut down and then trying to come back, you know, fast forward when things kind of start easing up and they're having the conversations of like, how do we get athletics back and so on and so forth. And our school and school district was really heavy in that conversation. So I was part of planning along with my fellow athletic trainers, Mia McCarthy. She's at LMU right now, but her and I were both full-time athletic trainers at Upland. And we sat there trying to figure out, no one knew at the time. There was not a blueprint of
We were
how,
all winging it, trying to figure it out, definitely.
all winging it. I mean, looking from NYU's protocols and looking like, you know, every university that was doing some kind of study and all those things, trying to put everything together. What did the NCAA come out? What did NFHS come out with? And they didn't have stuff. I mean, really just trying to piece everything together. So I was a part of that, which was very taxing. Also, too, trying to come back with practices and doing the screenings and doing the contact tracing. And then I think
I'm starting to
this,
twitch as you talk about this,
oh,
so you know.
it's PTSD for probably
Oh,
many of us that
yep.
went through that period. But when they had the moment when they decided to bring back and compress all the seasons into that spring, I
Oh,
remember
God, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nightmare still to this day.
that.
Yep.
You know, to go in with an adjusted football season and you're in spring, you know, and then you had to work your winter seasons or winter sports. And then you also had to kind of balance that with your spring sports. That whole period of time was tough. It was tough. And ironically enough, for me, kind of like it was kind of like a little bit of a period of burnout, you know, because I was there burning candle at both ends, phones off the hook, trying to get practices going. How do we share time on the field? And I want to practice at 5 a.m. You got another team that are like, well, we can only practice at 11 at night. We're like, whoa, what is going on here? So at that point, it was kind of like, well, what else is out there? And so filling around with LinkedIn, I found and reconnected with my old coworker. If we rewind and go back to the hospital days and my very first go around as a industrial athletic trainer, come to find out that he's working for this company that I'm working for now. And he was a workplace health and safety manager. And I reach out to him. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, you've done it. You got to this corporation, like I said, one of the largest corporations in the world. And it's like, you went from where we were many years ago. It's like, you've done it. You've got into the safety space. And so we had a little bit of conversation and he asked me a question. It's like, hey, would you be interested in becoming an injury prevention specialist? And I'm like, what is that? what does that entail? And so we
What is that? Where is it? What are you talking about?
So kind of broke it down, basically saying that it's an individual that has your skill set. Athletic trainers fit the bill, but they're looking at identifying risk from what we call musculoskeletal disorders. These are soft tissue injuries resulting in pain, reduction to mobility, but it affects individuals' ability to work. So this company has invested time and support and, allocation of funds to have this program. And then this was just one business unit, and these were fulfillment centers, supply chain logistics. And so a lot of repetitive tasks, a lot of volume. This was a company's way of really trying to improve that, improve employee experience by utilizing our knowledge and our skill set to help improve those work environments. I was kind of at a point where, like, I'm looking for something else, and also had a kind of a conversation with myself. And it's like, I've really done a lot in my traditional setting. This was one part of my resume, like at the point where I do retire, hang it up, and walk away, that I wanted on my resume. And so I was like, industrial athletic trainer, hey, let's jump into it. So I went ahead and did the interview, got it. Ironically enough, my first warehouse is out here in Eastvale, California. And I worked there for 2 years, and it was eye-opening. It was eye-opening from day one, having to go in and not see an athletic field, a court, a weight room, but walking into miles of conveyance, automation, people working and earning a paycheck. And it's funny, I know in the industrial athletic training space, we like to refer to our employees as like industrial athletes. I know that's a big term that's out there.
Yep.
I think for me, I'm kind of one that I don't use it. So this is going to be another side of the coin. I have to listen to my audience. And so I have to really look at my associates. This company has really good programs and has taught me ways of how to really listen to my employees and listen to my associates whenever I do an assessment, have a discussion. If they do report pain and soreness or an injury, I have to listen to everything about their life, what they've been doing outside of work, what they're doing with work, because there are times those elements kind of key into factors of why they're having trouble with mobility or experiencing pain and soreness. So I have to take a holistic view, but I also have to go in with no bias. So that was a learning curve, And so with this injury prevention specialist space, I don't use the term industrial athlete often, if any. I tell people when they ask who I am, I've also had to learn to give my 30-second elevator pitch of who I am. I've kind of gotten down to the point where I can give my whole synopsis of my career and tell them, like, well, I kind of know what I'm doing. So I ask that you trust me, and that's one thing that we have to gain is trust in a very short period of time. So I look at these individuals like, hey, the company that we work for, they place value in an individual like me who's worked with pro Olympic level athletes, high school athletes, top-notch athletes. These are moving, people are moving at their optimal best. And I want to bring those tips, those knowledge to help you work better. And I leave it at that. And they're normal. You're a normal person. You are providing for your family. This is a means for to support your family, your kids, people from all walks of life. And there are people that were athletes in their high schools. I do see a lot of athletes, and I use that caveat. It's like, hey, now I can connect with you as an athletic trainer because you were a former athlete. So I look at opportunities to connect, gain rapport, using my former settings. But I have a lot of individuals that they weren't athletes. They didn't have an athletic bone in their body, but they're doing athletic things. And where I'm at now currently, working for air transportation and air cargo is very unique. You know, I have part of our business unit is a sortation center where, you know, I'm have associates that are sorting packages that are going to various locations throughout the country. They're loading containers that are going to be loaded onto aircraft. So our company, you know, we boast of getting packages there in a timely manner. And we try to do that for our customers. And the business unit that I'm involved with, you know, plays a big part of that. So the success of our business unit lies with our associates, how well they can work and, you know, how efficient they can be. So for as an injury prevention specialist, I have to look at all that. And everything that I'm involved with is almost prior to an injury being reported. You know, there's times where, like, if an individual comes in and says, like, I've got some soreness here, and they work with, we have a position called an on-site medical representative, and they're mainly EMTs, but they can do first aid in manners that OSHA allows us to address pain and soreness. So,
Which OSHA is always a big concern in the industrial setting. So,
And so that's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. We follow federal OSHA guidelines and also policies and procedures that our company bases our safety policies and procedures off of. And then also more specifically, being in the state of California, we also have another layer. So we have Cal OSHA, which actually bumps up the level of protection for employees. And, you know,
As
that's,
always, yep.
yeah. So we have another layer that we deal with to make sure that it's there for the protection of employees that work in the state of California. But it's nice because our company I work for, they have a program that allows associates to kind of use some resources such as hot packs, cold packs. I have a hydroculator at the little clinic that we have on site. It's great. We also have been approved. Like, we use kinesiology tape, we use KT tape. I was one of the very first kind of like train the trainer individuals to utilize KT tape with our company. And also, it's kind of nice to go back and have that connection with track and field because I remember when KT tape first came out. I was one of the, you know, people that utilized it. So having to come full circle and share of how it works, getting the conversations like, oh, that's placebo or all oh, that's in your head. And I tell people the what we deal with in the industrial setting, a lot of times it's brain drain, it's motor control, it's dysfunctional movement and motor patterns that we have to address. And sometimes just a little bit of tape, a little bit of tactile reinforcement, or just a little bit of that sensation really can help. And so it's interesting being in this setting, and especially being as an injury prevention specialist, I really got to go back to basics. I have to go back to functional anatomy. I have to look at movement patterns and what their tasks are, what planes of movement is it in? Is it in the frontal plane? Is it the sagittal plane? Is they got oblique, you know, movements? What movements do they experience pain and soreness? How do I look at what's the range of motion? I use manual muscle testing. I go back to really, really basic things just to make sure that they're functioning appropriately and muscles are doing what they need to do. And they've got good range of motion and they're able to complete their tasks. But then at the same time, making sure, like, I'm a coach because I got to teach them, hey, this is a proper way to move and lift and bend and pull, handling thing. We have a lot of material handling. So as an injury prevention specialist, I work in that space. But then also with ergonomics, and that's one thing that I've learned in the last, I think, it's going to be close to being 4 years with this company and 2 years at the fulfillment center and close to my second year with this air transportation and cargo hub. But being a part of ergonomic assessments and really looking and deep diving into what tasks and jobs and processes are being performed at our site and how can we improve them by utilizing some ergonomic tools, maybe it's a reach tool, or maybe developing some type of mechanical handling. So part of my role is I get asked to be part of projects and teams to provide my input from an ergonomic standpoint, movement technique standpoint, whenever like new processes are being introduced, or even an existing process that may be a potential injury driver, or they're seeing a lot of injuries coming from like this department, this job, this task, and they need a deep dive of how to mitigate those injuries or those reported injuries. So as an IPS or an injury prevention specialist, we get asked to be representatives and they pick our brains. And, you know, we're in there with individuals like process assistants. And those are specialists that know the job of a business unit of a warehouse from start to finish. And they know like how everything works and how they can make a building work efficiently in all the different parts. And
so a different type of multidisciplinary team at that point, taking care of the patient.
Yeah. And so how do we look at even things like specialty teams, like engineering? Can we use more automation? And the company I work for always pushes us to be innovative. So I always love being in that space, thinking outside the box, being creative.
Yeah, definitely. Always fun.
Yeah. So that's always fun. And it's great to see programs and initiatives that get through the finish line and they're out and running and you see some great results. And then sometimes you see trial and error and you have to go in and double back and like, oh, it didn't kind of work out the way you thought it was, and go back and reassess and then relaunch it again. And getting to see like that part of industry has been really interesting, you know. And then also how we track entitlement. Our company is very data driven and we collect data on every different point. If it's performance metrics, it's injury metrics, it's, I keep thinking like in the traditional setting, all of our EMR platforms, you know. And our company, we're very fortunate to have a division where that's what they specialize in: data collection, web services, that kind of stuff. And we have a lot of data capturing tools, dashboards at our disposal. So one of the other roles for myself is I have to pull metrics weekly and provide reports. I have to look at injury trends. I have to look at what departments are our hot zones. What are some ways that we can address or identify and mitigate those risks? Looking historical data year after year, all kinds of stuff. So diving into data, something that's an old dog like me is trying to jump in and look at Excel.
Learn that new trick. Yep.
Learn that new trick. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's interesting to have effect on regular working folks. I've had several cases where, you know, just kind of simple things, showing them how to move, teaching them how to use a Massage King self-massage. We're fortunate to use, you know, like percussion massage. We get to use like hypervolts and guns and things like that. So to help loosen up muscles and give them a little.
And he's talking about Theraguns when he says
Theraguns.
Guns,
sorry. Yeah.
Ladies
Theraguns
and gentlemen,
are
everybody out there.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes. Yes. No, I gotcha. I gotcha. So,
but, you know, and for them to improve their quality of life outside of work.
Yeah.
You know, and that's gratifying. So,
Bill, just crazy. You've had such an impact on such a wide variety of individuals throughout your career. Kind of been fun to go on along this journey with you over the last hour, which we blew past the hour. It went by so quick. It must have been just a phenomenal ride over the last 20 some odd years for you. Looking back, if you give yourself just a little bit of advice, if you can go back to when you first passed in 98, what's something you'd say to yourself?
Ooh, I think I would tell myself, like, continue to have an open mind. And yeah, really to keep an open mind of what's out there. I think I would tell my former self, you really know more than you give yourself credit for. I had a lot of imposter syndrome, you know, I'm just like, man, there's no reason why I'm here. I shouldn't be here. But
I know that feeling all too well sometimes.
Yeah. And I think also to continue be a people person. I think in my current setting, you got to be a people person. You got to connect with your employees. You also got to connect and see big picture with leaders from safety side, operations and things like that. And, you know, continue to develop to be a good people person along the way. So, yeah.
Great words to live by. Buddy, Just wow. It's so fun to go along that road and listen and see just how your career has developed and how others have spun off of it. And hopefully a few people get little tidbits here and there and helps them further their career today after listening to this episode. I keep saying wow, but yeah, wow. That's the easiest way to say it. But I know we both got to get to work, so I don't want to take too much more of your time. I know you got to get back to injury prevention specialist at your company and get rolling, take care of those individuals that need your help. So we're going to wrap it up here and say thank you for joining us. It was fantastic talking to you, buddy, and always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, thank you again for having me on. It's a great experience, and love the podcast, love what you're doing, especially too what you do for high school students in that space. Congrats on the Perry Weather, AT
Thank you.
excellence, and looking back on those days of the secondary school just across Pasadena from you and I, you're in La
Yep.
Camada, me in Sierra Madre, just to see what you've done is awesome. So kudos to you too, and thanks
I
again for
appreciate
having me
that.
on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was great having you. Thanks for those kind words. And buddy, we'll see you at the next conference, right?
Definitely. Sounds
Yep.
good.
Have a great day. Thank you very much.
All
Thanks for
right. You
being on
too.
Wrap It Up, Sports Medicine and More. Talk to you later. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up, Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up, Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.